¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
We do hear a lot about work-life balance these days, and we hear a lot from employers saying they wish to support that. But how genuine is that desire? If your employer rings you while you're on holiday, it might be genuinely urgent. And who decides how much work an employee should do? The chief executive of Marks & Spencer has recently said out loud that he doesn't believe in work-life balance. Donal O'Donoghue is managing director of Sanderson Recruitment. Good afternoon, Donal.
Good afternoon, Sean.
If someone is applying for a job, Donal, you're not going to say in the interview, well, you know, there's limits on how much I'll do.
No, absolutely not. And I think, you know, the CEO from Marks & Spencer came out and said out loud what a lot of CEOs believe. But are afraid to admit. And I think you've got to look at the context. The CEO for Marks & Spencer last year earned £7.1 million, which isn't bad money. Mm. You know, he got his almost 900K salary, his 1.6 million bonus, and another 4.6 million in stock. And he's always available, understandably.
Okay.
And he expects his leaders to be always available. And I think there's a difference between, you know, working in your role and developing your career and then having that level of responsibility. So I can kind of see where he's coming from, but he's conflating what he expects of himself and his direct reports with people across the business. Now, this is a guy that started off at the age of 16 pushing trolleys in a supermarket in the UK with no education and has developed himself through being a workaholic into this very senior role. But that's not for everyone.
No, absolutely. So I suppose you could say he expects his leaders to be the same as him. How far down does that go?
Well, one of the things he said, there was an article in the paper last week where he's kind of talked about this. And, you know, what he said is, look, if it's important enough for your boss to phone you during your holidays, if you're a leader, it should be important enough for you to answer. So I think you just have to look at this in the context that we see now. There's kind of an intergenerational thing happening in the workplace where, you know, people of a certain vintage, perhaps like ourselves, when we started our careers, we worked sometimes 5, 6, 7 days a week, worked really hard to learn your trade and to develop your skills. And then as you get a little bit further along in the career, you get a bit of work-life balance and you can pick and choose. And maybe your work is higher value and less time consuming, because in the old days, you were kind of trading your time for money. And then as you develop your expertise, maybe the balance shifts a little bit. Mm. But I think where the intergenerational thing is happening is that, particularly since the pandemic, there's this huge expectation on hybrid working. There's a huge expectation on work-life balance. And there's a bit of a disconnect there between earning your stripes and actually and warranting it in some organizations.
Yeah. So could one put it, I mean, and, you know, there's been, I don't know, it's a mad generalization about Gen Zs are, you know, more inclined for work-life balance. Are they overvaluing themselves, perhaps?
Maybe in some circumstances, because to have a value, you've got to earn it, haven't you? And when you think about leadership, you know, they say leadership isn't a job, it's a responsibility. And that responsibility doesn't really care about your yoga class or doesn't really care about your couple of weeks in Portugal. You know, if your business needs you, and you're a leader, genuinely are a leader, well, should you be available? Well, a lot of businesses and a lot of CEOs would say yes.
Yeah. But I suppose he's rare in that he said it out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a lot of double think in the corporate world nowadays, in saying one thing and thinking another?
Well, sometimes there's a disconnect between what the CEO thinks and what the narrative coming perhaps from the external communications or from the HR department is. But like, what we see a lot is that the people that display these behaviors earlier in their careers, that put in the long hours, that, you know, will get stuff across the line, even when it's the weekend or even when it's a bank holiday, they're often the people that get promoted and that end up having a better work-life balance. So it's kind of trading that early career stuff in terms of early career graft for work-life balance a little bit later on. And the reality is most high performers will go the extra mile, but they won't do it blindly anymore.
Okay, because you could see, you know, if you spend years working 6-7 days a week, if you spend years, you're always on. Even if you get to the point where you have a bit more free time, it's difficult to use that because you built up this lifetime habit of always working.
And it depends what structures you've put in place. So if you think about it this way, if you work in that way and you don't switch off very much, but then you have a period of time where you need to switch off, if things fall apart when you're removed from the business or from the job, well, then you haven't really structured it properly.
Mm.
So it's about getting those structures in place, having the succession plan in place, having your people trained and optimized. But look, I have to admit, you know, I would be one of the people that's keeping an eye on emails while away.
Yeah.
And one of my colleagues in work, she puts her out of office on when she goes away and she responds more quickly when she's on leave than she does when she's in the office. So there's a bit of that as well, which makes the out of office look a bit weird.
Yeah, that happened to me the other day. I got a note in office and then an actual reply from the person who was on holiday.
But that's the interesting thing. Like when you think about the fact now that you've got emails and everything on your phone, in the old days, if you got a mobile phone and worked before smartphones, you thought, oh, this is a perk. I don't have to pay my phone bill anymore. I've got a company phone. And what we see now is the generation that come to work now in the last kind of 5 or 8 years, they don't want a work phone as their main phone. They want a work phone to use during work and at 5 or 6 on a Friday or each evening they switch the thing off. Whereas the generation that's ahead of that tend to have their emails on their work/personal phone. And that's where you see less switching off. So, you know, is the discipline that when the end of the workday arrives, that the laptop is closed, the phone is switched off, and I'll get back to you tomorrow? Or do you keep an eye on it? It's, you know, that's the $64,000 question.
But generally speaking, generationally, does the younger generation tend to, when they switch that phone off, it's off?
You're asking me to generalize, so I'll say absolutely. but I do think there's an element of the hunger and drive part that that generationally can be a little bit mismatched now. You know, there's certainly when I talk to I've no idea. Well, like when I talk to senior candidates and you talk about the graft they put in earlier in their career, versus the generation that are coming now, there is a real disconnect. You know, the generation that are coming now really value education. They really value working for good brands and having career trajectory. You know, I spent a few years, I achieved this at this company and then I kind of upgraded to a new company. Whereas the older generation, we just like that bit of suffering, you know.
And well, maybe the older generation didn't have that option that they could switch, that they didn't see themselves as working for one company or even in one line of work.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at how jobs were advertised and career trajectory, how long people stayed in companies years ago, it is very different. And I suppose we're in the Tinder generation of swiping left and swiping right. You know, if you're traveling to work, you know, there's jobs popping up on your Indeed, on your LinkedIn, on all the social and digital channels, offering a better life and huge money in new places. So are we now in a generation where our heads are turned more regularly? Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. Since the pandemic and working from home really took off, is that now a permanent thing, Donald? Because one gets the sense that a lot of companies are pushing back on that now. They want people to come back in the office.
You see, there was a weird thing that happened after the pandemic and it was all built on pent-up demand. So businesses that were in, like if you look at the tech businesses that were in sales, their numbers were through the roof. People were working from home and we all thought this is fantastic. People can work from home. Revenue is up, sales are up, profitability is up. But that was almost a false positive because it was all the pent-up demand after the recession. And people were talking about we should work a 4-day week. It should become mandatory. All this stuff was going on. And then the market normalized a little bit and, you know, geopolitics went a little bit weird and there's less demand out there. Nobody's talking about a 4-day week being the norm anymore.
Mm.
And there is, you know, there's definitely the hybrid piece isn't going back, but the pendulum is definitely swinging back towards the employer a little bit more. But I think the key thing here is that you've got to treat people like grown-ups, and grown-ups don't need to be managed by hours. They need to be trusted on outcomes or managed by outcomes. And I think if organizations get that right and there's clear deliverables for what's expected from the role, whether you're doing it from your home office or sitting in your shed or in the office, I think makes a minimal difference. The challenge is really passing the learnings on to the next generation that are coming in and passing the behaviors on, which is really important.
Yeah. Okay. There could be a wee bit of the older generation think of themselves as indispensable and don't want to give that up.
I don't know. I think we're programmed and predisposed towards wanting to bring people along and seeing people become successful in their careers, just as long as they don't pass us by.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to teach you. I'm not going to teach you. I'm going to teach you everything you know, but not everything I know.
Exactly.
But also, like, if you were, and it doesn't really matter what your role is, but if you're on your holiday and you keep getting phone calls from work, isn't that a failure on the part of your employer because they didn't put in a replacement for you while you were on holiday?
Yeah, possibly. And it shouldn't be a regular thing. And to be fair, in this article, I think he was talking about in exceptional circumstances where there's something, you know, urgent that comes up. If it's urgent enough for your boss to call you, you know, it should be urgent enough for you to pick up the phone. But look, if it's a regular thing, I think it says a lot more about the organization, its structures, how disorganized it is and how dysfunctional it is. But if it's an occasional thing and you're on big money and you're in the big job, well, sometimes you've got to pull on those big boy pants and answer the phone.
Yeah, one texter says the average American worker takes less vacation time than a medieval peasant. Medieval peasants often enjoyed roughly 150 days off per year, including Sundays and religious feasts. Wow.
Yeah, 10 days is kind of the norm annual leave in the States compared to twice that over here. It is pretty grim, all right, but I don't think we'll get on to the States today.
The older generation are naive when it comes to work. You are nothing but a number to the companies, and the second they can find someone cheaper, they've no problem laying you off. Is that a factor in this as well for younger people in that, you know, there perhaps was an idea where, you know, in Ireland, some would work for Guinness. There'd be intergenerational employment by Guinness, and there'd be a loyalty to that. And that kind of thing doesn't exist so much anymore.
I think that's something of the past, but I think it all comes down to output. You know, like if you think about the business transaction, the contract of employment, you know, your work has got to be profitable for the business. And when it gets to the stage where it costs more to employ you than you deliver, well, then the relationship isn't looking great for the future. But if your work quality is good and your outputs are good, I think your job's safe enough.
Yeah. So all the HR stuff about we care about you and your welfare, that's all waffle. Really.
Well, do you know what? I think from a HR perspective, when you look at, you know, systems, policies, transformation, all of the good work that HR is doing, I think is really valuable. You just can't have a disconnect between how the CEO sees the world and how HR communicates it to the workforce. Where those two are aligned, that's the way a business should be.
Donal, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. That was Donal O'Donoghue there, Managing Director of Sanderson Recruitment.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.